to Acts chapter number 2. We've been looking really at the key to all of the book of Acts, all of what should take place in a church, really the engine, I guess, that gets everything moving in a church, and it is the preaching of God's Word. It says in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It was the doctrine that was being preached. It was the preaching of God's Word. That's how they heard it. They assembled, they gathered together so that they could hear the doctrine being expounded, so they could hear the preaching of the Word of God. And that's really what moved everything. What got everything going was the preaching of the Word of God. And that's what we're looking at. That's what we've been looking at as we look at the characteristics of a healthy church going through Acts 2, 41 through 47. As we've gone through, we saw some examples of the teaching that's expected in New Testament churches. And now this evening, we're going to look at the commitment by those involved to continue in the preaching they hear. It's not just that it's something that they hear and they come and yeah, we want to be around the preaching, we want to hear preaching. It's not just that. It's that they hear the preaching and then they apply it to their own life. They didn't just come and listen and then ignore it. No, they took steps to apply what was being said. And that's the exact thing that we need to do. We should always strive to do that. Even when it's in our own personal Bible reading, our own personal Bible study, we should always seek to apply the Word of God to our own life. But what sets these disciples apart from many in Christianity today is that these Christians right here in the book of Acts applied what they were hearing. They were like James said. When James said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." How many that come and sit under the preaching of this church are hearers only and not doers of the word? That's a burden on my heart that we wouldn't be that way. That none of us, not one person in here, would be a hearer of the word and not a doer only. Or yeah, what did I say? would be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Let me get that right, huh? Amen. But you know what I mean. It is a burden on my heart that many would just hear the word of God and be content with that. That's not what we see happening here. That's not a healthy church. That's a dime a dozen, to be honest with you. That they just hear what the word of God says, but they don't apply it. And I know it's not always easy to apply it. It's hard sometimes, especially when it means we have to change the way we live and change the way we do things. But you know, sometimes if we're just willing to just take one simple step, you know, just one piece, you say, "I've got, you know, a bunch of stuff I got to work on, but that's overwhelming. I can't handle all that, but I can do this one thing." Then just do that. That's being a doer of the word. That's being a doer of the word. You might say, "Man, there's like 20 things I have to work on." Well, just start with one. Hey, sometimes just pick the easiest one. All right. I like a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey. He's got some good financial advice. And he talks about people trying to help people get out of debt. And one of the things he does is he says, you know, you get all your bills. And he's pretty much just like, you need to just completely alter your life and do whatever you need to do. You know, just stop doing all this nonsense so you can get out of debt. He says, but you get all your debt that you have. He says, line it all up. He says, I don't care what the interest rates are. You get the cheapest one, whatever the lowest amount you owe off. You know, even if there's something with, you know, higher interest rate that's more, he says, I don't care. You get the one. If it's just $300, you get that one and you get that thing paid off first so you can have a small victory. And he says, that's how you do it. Why? So you'll stay encouraged and you'll keep doing it. You're like, hey, we got rid of that one. So now we can apply the money we were paying towards that, towards this next one. And he calls it a snowball effect. But you get that small victory so you can be encouraged to keep going. And sometimes in our Christian lives, that's what we need to do. We just need the small victory. We just need that little encouragement to say, hey, I did it. I was able to do this one step that it was hard for me, but I did it. And maybe I can do one of those other 19 that I got to work on. Maybe I can't see if we're just willing to be a doer of the word in one small area, that'll help us. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, ask His help right now. Father, we come before You asking You to help us, Lord, to be committed to being doers of the word, to continue in the preaching that we hear. Lord, that it wouldn't just come in our ears and we just sit on it for a bit and never do anything about it, God, but that we would, truly would apply it to our lives. God, help us, please, to live separated lives, to separate ourselves from the evil of this world, from evil influences, evil people even. But God, maybe we've tried and we failed. And I just ask you to give us some encouragement. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. God, forgive us for failing you. Forgive us for not being what we should be. But Lord, tonight we come before you asking for your help. Lord, we need your help to be able to do what you ask us to do, what you've commanded us to do. Please help us. Lord, when that temptation is there to do wrong, we know that you always give a way of escape. Help us to seek that way of escape. Please, God. Maybe it's tomorrow morning when we wake up. Help us not be lazy, but to get up and read our Bible, to get up and pray. Get up and exercise. Whatever it is, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was a commitment by those involved in this early church to continue in the preaching that they heard. Do you think that God, I just want to ask you a question, do you think that God would describe this church in that way? Do you think God would say about Liberty Baptist Church that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Do you think God would say that? If he came in here and evaluated our church, what kind of, I guess, test would he give us, or what kind of exam would he say where we were at? An evaluation is the word I'm looking for. What kind of evaluation do you think God would give to us? If it was based on the way you serve God, what kind of evaluation would God give to this church? Based on just you and the way you serve God, would he say that this church continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? This church is applying what they hear. If God came and judged this church just off of you, what would he say? That's a, ouch, isn't it? Oh man, that's kind of hard, isn't it? But that's exactly how God judges this church. It's based off of us as members and what we make it. This church will be what we make it. And if we are going to continue in the apostles' doctrine, we can be a healthy church. If we're going to, you know, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. If we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin to us. You can't say, I'm ignorant. You can't claim ignorance anymore. God says, once you know, it's sin. It's sin. It's not even talking about evil things. It's talking about when it's time to do right. He says, if you know that that's right to do and you don't do it, it's sin. So how would God evaluate this church if he had to look at, if he was giving an evaluation to us? Continuance in the Lord's doctrine is evidence that a person is saved. I mean, this is one of the greatest evidences right here that these people were saved, is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Our obedience to the word of God is evidence we're saved. John 10:4 says, Jesus said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. See, continuing in what God says is an evidence of salvation. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They're continuing in it. This is a description of his sheep. That means without mom and dad prodding me, you know, without my husband prodding me, without my wife prodding me, you know, without anything like that, a brother or sister prodding me and telling me, this is what you need to do. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Without any of that, that means I follow Jesus. That means I get up and I want to read the Bible on my own, because my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's what that means. It means I do it because I want to. Because I want to follow him. Those that followed him, as we go back to verse 41, it says that they did something. Then they gladly received his word. They'd received his word. They'd received salvation. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, it's the salvation is what made the difference. They received salvation, and because of that, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, Christianity is not some fake it till you make it. No, you do it because you are it. I'm continuing in the apostles' doctrine because I gladly received His word. That's why you do it. If there's no desire in your heart to continue in this, you should ask yourself, man, did I gladly receive His word? Am I saved? I was talking with my wife before we came in. I said, when was the last time you doubted your salvation, if ever? Some people don't. I mean, that's not me. I've doubted my salvation, but some people don't. And we were talking about that. And I thought back, I said, it's been years since I've doubted my salvation. Because when I got it settled, I got it settled. And I went through, I looked at these types of things, evidence of salvation, and I said, no, I'm saved. I'm saved. I knew all the promises of, oh, you know, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. The gift of God is eternal life. I knew all those promises, and I still had doubts. I was having doubts. And finally, when I went and I started examining some of these things, this fruit that should be evident in a saved person's life, I started looking at it and said, well, is that in my life? Yeah. Yep. To me, one of the greatest evidences of a person's salvation is that they have a love for the Word of God, that they desire the Word of God in some way, shape, or form. And I get it. In my life, it's done this. You know, there's times when I'm like, yes, I want to read the Word of God. I'm like all over it. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. And there's other times when it's down here and I'm like, I don't want to read that. I mean, there are times like that. I'm not saying that, but there's always been a desire in my life for the Word of God. That's what we see right here. I haven't doubted my salvation in years. It's been a long, many years since I've doubted my salvation. Probably, I don't know, maybe since 2008, 2009 was the last time I doubted my salvation. And since then, I never have, because I got it settled. I know it. One of the key evidences is that I continue in the apostles' doctrine. I'm continuing in what I'm learning. That's something we can use to say, hey, I don't need to doubt my salvation. If you have been and you say, no, but I've asked Christ to be my Savior. I'm trusting in Him. And you say, you know, well, am I continuing in this? Do I love God's Word? And you look at that and you say, hey, I'm doing just what these people did. Because I received it, because I gladly received His Word and I was baptized, I'm continuing in His doctrine. That's me. I'm just like them. And you can use that, and that should be an encouragement to you. But if the desire is not there to do that, you've got to ask yourself why. Why is there no desire to continue in the apostles' doctrine? Now, as we move forward in applying this right here and looking through the book of Acts, the amazing things that took place in this first church were a direct result of the people's love and hunger for the pure Word of God. They were a direct result. Everything that took place, all the amazing things, the people they saw healed, I mean, all the spread of the gospel, the churches being started, were all a result of this right here, what we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They wanted the Word of God. And if we are to see the same results in our church planting efforts, we can't get focused on results. Amen. Good. We can't get focused on results. We have to be focused on just doing what the Bible says a healthy church does. Amen. That's what we have to be focused on. We're just going to love the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. We're just going to do what God says, and we'll leave the results up to Him. Amen. And if God wants to add to this church, He can. If God wants to add to that church, He can. But it's going to be up to Him. What we're going to do is we're just going to obey His Word, and we're going to set the standards of what a healthy church is, and we're just going to follow that. Our focus needs to be on a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I like this in Matthew 5, 6, says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Let's hunger and thirst for righteousness so that we can be filled. Is it getting cold out there? No? Yes? I think I got an eyebrow, so maybe. Okay, I saw that. That's all right. My wife, I saw her do one of those too, so I figured ladies are getting cold. All right. These believers here in the book of Acts loved being around God, His Word, and His people. This is why it's so important that we as a church aren't angry with one another and we don't hold grudges. So we can be in unity, and that goes along with this as well. We'll move forward. There's an importance of not forsaking this assembly. They didn't forsake the assembly. They wanted to be together. They wanted to gather together. They wanted to be around one another. They weren't, you know, trying to miss each other and be like, oh, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be around them. No, they wanted to be with each other. Amen. There was a closeness there, a unity. Just like hopefully in our homes, we want to be around each other. We want to be next to each other. We want to be with each other. That's how it should be here. It shouldn't be that, well, I want to avoid so-and-so. I don't really want to be around them. We've got to ask ourselves why. Right. We shouldn't want that. That shouldn't be what describes us. It didn't describe this church. And if we want the same results they had, then we can't have that here. As we look at this thing of them continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, saving faith produces discipleship. Discipleship is the evidence of saving faith. See, they continued because their salvation. Their discipleship or their continuance was the evidence of their saving faith. In John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." If you continue, that's the proof that you're my disciple. That's New Testament Christianity right there. A saved person is a disciple. The discipleship is the evidence of their salvation. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. They continued because they were saved. Let's look, if we would, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And we'll read through verse 10, Ephesians 2, 8. Ephesians 2, 8. When you get there, say, amen. All right, that's good. You guys are on it. Man, I like that. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And get this here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So guess what God decided? When somebody gets saved, they're going to walk in good works. That's what God wants. He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God created us in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a creation. We're a new creature. And he created us unto good works. So the good works are a result of the salvation that's there. That's what the good works are a result of. It's the evidence of that. John 10:27, I read this earlier, but it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, the reason they follow is because they are a sheep. That's why they follow. Because they're a sheep, they follow. Now, as we feed the church, what is a healthy church need? As we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, what does a healthy church need to be fed? Doctrine. Doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So the Lord's churches are to be fed doctrine. Our doctrinal teaching absolutely must start with the milk of the word or the doctrine of Christ. Now I know you're like, here he goes again. Yes, here I go again. Hebrews chapter 6. This really is where it needs to start. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the what? The foundation. So that's where you start with anything. That's where our doctrinal understanding needs to start. That's where our doctrinal teaching needs to start, and we need to know it well. It's the foundation. You know, when a building's going up, the most amount of time is spent on the foundation. That's typically where the most amount of time, when they build a skyscraper, they'll sometimes be for months. You won't see any work going on because it's all going on underground, because they're working on the foundation so that thing will stay standing. That's where the amount of focus needs to be, because if the foundation's not right, everything else is going to fall apart. So our doctrinal teaching absolutely needs to start with the milk of the Word. Newborn babes, the Bible says, desire milk. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now we're here in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5:12, it says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Need of milk and not of strong meat. He's saying these people need milk. The milk of the Word. And that's what these principles are. So you should be teaching, but you need to get the first principles again. You need milk and not strong meat. That's what God's saying. This is, let's build the foundation. It says you ought to be able to discern some things, but you're not able to. You should be teaching, but you're not able to. Why can't you teach? Why do you have no discernment? Because you don't understand the milk. You can't even handle the milk. You don't know the milk of the Word. You don't understand the doctrine of Christ. Now look, this is going to apply to a lot of preachers out there. A lot of people teaching the Word of God. They don't have discernment. You say, how can they get that wrong? Why don't they understand that? Why are they all messed up in their doctrine? Well, because their foundation's all messed up. They can't, as verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Because they have the foundation, they've gone on to meat, they're of full age, they've matured, and they have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So as we're right here talking about the need of milk, let's go to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Save your spot in Hebrews. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. So who's God going to teach knowledge to? Who's he going to help understand doctrine? Those that are weaned from the milk. And then as you go on right there, I meant to read this. Let me go back and find it. It goes on to say, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. What is that? We're just going to teach just line upon line. We're going to compare spiritual with spiritual, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going to begin to build on this foundation. Because you've got the foundation, you've been weaned from the breast, as it says right there. And now you can, I'm going to teach you knowledge and I'm going to make you understand doctrine. That's when we can really begin to grow. So if this is what churches need, if this is what the book of Acts says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. If we need doctrine and we need to be nourished up in sound doctrine and that's where we need to be fed, then we have to start with the foundation needs to be sound and sure. So we absolutely need to understand the doctrine of Christ, the primary principles. Without the proper foundation, one cannot go on unto meat. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. It's talking about maturity, growth. And that's what Isaiah chapter 28 was talking about as well. Hey, I'm going to teach you some things. I'm going to give you some doctrine now. Line upon line, precept upon precept, because you've had the milk. You've been drawn from the breast. So now I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to teach you more. We're going to go on unto perfection. It's talking about maturity. Now, let's go from Hebrews to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:11. So to move to perfection, to maturity, we need the right foundation. So we want to go on unto perfection. And look here, Ephesians 4:11. It says about Christ, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints. He gave you a pastor to perfect you, to mature you, to teach you, to lay line upon line and precept upon precept so you can be strong, so you can handle meat, and you can be teachers. And that's what this says right here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? For the work of the ministry. So he gave the pastors and teachers to perfect the saints, to mature the saints. Well, why do the saints need to be matured? Look at the next part. For the work of the ministry. That's why the saints need to be matured. So they can do the work of the ministry. So you out here can do the work of the ministry. And then it says, it goes on to say, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that as you do the work of the ministry, it'll build up this body. It'll edify. That's what it means to build up. That means it's going to encourage each other, but also it's going to physically add people to this body. It's going to edify, to build up this body right here. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, there's the knowledge unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all of this is to get us to be Christ-like. You all serving God is to help each other and me and you to be like Christ more and more. And then look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. See, because we've gone on unto perfection. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, we go beyond the foundation to perfection so that we're not tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, cunning craftiness. See, Paul said that, or the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, likely Paul, we don't know, says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. And then verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, when you go on unto perfection, your senses are exercised so you can tell this is right, this is wrong. So you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I've known some people, some men, I mean, this new doctrine comes and they're blown over here and then they're, oh no, that's wrong. And they're coming over here. I'm talking about grown men. Why? Because they're not grounded in the Word of God. They're blown about with every wind of doctrine. And they always believe some new thing. And usually, typically it happens to young men in the, 18 to 30 range is usually where that happens. But it doesn't mean it's just those men. It can happen to any man, honestly. But we want discernment. We want to go on unto perfection. And it won't happen unless we've got the right foundation. That foundation needs to be the doctrine of Christ. And that's where all our teaching needs to be doctrinal. It needs to be what the Word of God says. And we need to ground people in that. If there is a forgotten doctrine, one that Satan has used to obscure, it is the doctrine of Christ. It's forgotten. It's missing. If we as a church are going to be effective and successful in God's eyes, we have to keep preaching His Word as the centerpiece of our church. We need to herald out the Word of God. If anything, if people say anything about this church, I want them to say, man, they preach the Word of God there. They preach the Bible there. That ought to be one of the main things about this church, is that we preach the Bible. And if we preach the Bible and if we stand in the apostles' doctrine and that's what we're teaching, then guess what? We'll be evangelistic. We'll have good fellowship. We'll be in unity. We'll pray. We'll start churches if we preach the book. If we're not preaching sound doctrine, we're not going to do those things. This church, they went out and they did what God wanted them to do. The preaching of the Word of God was paramount. It was the main thing. And because of that, they went out and they were evangelizing. If a church isn't evangelizing, they're not doing what their main purpose on earth is. That is a church's main purpose, is to evangelize. That's why we are here. Honestly, everything else is secondary. to us evangelizing. Yet we get it. Baptism is important. Doctrine is important. The purity of this church is important. Us standing on sound doctrine is important. But if we keep all those things in line how they're supposed to be, then the main purpose of why we're here is to evangelize the lost, to reach the lost. That's why we're here. We could say to extend the Lord's kingdom. Yes, that's why we're here, to expand His kingdom. That's what the purpose is. That's what church planting is. That's why we are here. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing the Lord's work. And we're not in the work of the ministry. We're just maintaining at best. At best. But we're definitely not like the first church. We're definitely not like the example that God gave us if we aren't doing this. Our country's in the mess it's in because churches stopped evangelizing, because churches stopped planting churches. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. I challenge you, drive through some of the neighborhoods, go to some of the older neighborhoods, and you see a lot of churches, whether they're actual churches or not, but you'll understand my point. You drive through here and you're going to see they were in neighborhoods. They were right there where people were at. They were being salt and light, at least to the best that they could be. But we got away from that. True churches got away from it. And now here's the mess that we're in. So what's the fix? Just get back to it. Just obey the Word of God. Just do what the Word of God says. I mean, hey, five times Jesus said, go, 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 go. He wants us to go. Amen? So if we're doing what His Word says, if we're doers of the Word and not hearers only, guess what we're going to do? Amen, we're going to go. We're going to go. Because that's what His Word says. We can't help but do it. If we continue in the apostles' doctrine. As the doctrine's being preached, that's exactly what we see them do. Nothing less. Nothing less. Now, there wasn't one perfect church in the New Testament. There hasn't been. In the Bible, there wasn't one perfect church. They were a mess. They had sin in them because sinners were there. But they went. They went. And we have to go. We need to hunger and thirst for pure doctrine. We can't wear our feelings on our sleeves when the Word of God opposes us. We need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's my challenge before you this evening is, are you willing to be a doer of the Word? Are you willing to do the things that God says, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard? It's easy when it's easy. I don't have a problem with that. I can do that. Now, when it's hard, let's see your faith step in. That's when faith gets real. That's when your love for God gets real. When it's hard to do what God's asking you to do. That's when what you really believe shines. When it's hard. When you feel like quitting. If you love me, keep my commandments. Does that include evangelizing? Amen. If you love me. So what does that say about someone that doesn't evangelize? What does that say about them? If they don't share the gospel with the lost, what does that say about their love for the Lord? It was His commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if someone doesn't share the gospel with the lost, what does that say about their love for the Lord? I don't care who it is. If it's a preacher, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And if the church isn't willing to lead in that, if the pastors aren't willing to lead in that, the sheep won't do it. That's just a principle of leadership, period. If the leaders don't do it, the followers will not. Look, whether we like it or not, I get the crazy thing about a pastor is he's also a sheep. That's the weird thing about it. But Jesus said, hey, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So the natural tendency of a sheep is to follow the shepherd, correct? It is. When you train them, yes, if they're a sheep, they'll follow the shepherd. That is the natural tendency of a sheep, is to follow their shepherd, the one that they get to know and that's leading them and protecting them. That's what they will do. So if the shepherd doesn't lead in that, why would the sheep do it? They're not going to. It doesn't matter who it is. If you love me, keep my commandments. So someone that's unwilling to share the gospel with people, and I'm talking, it's not like I do it once a year. No, that's not what God's talking. That's not the example we see in the Bible. Amen. I mean, it needs to be a part of our life. That's what we see in the Bible. That's the only example we see in the Bible. I mean, that's Jesus' whole life. I mean, if we're to be like Christ and he's the measure of the stature of the fullness that we're to be attaining for, that we're to be aiming for, his whole life, once his ministry got started, his whole life was to share the gospel with people. That's every aim of his life, was to do that. So if that's not at least a large portion of our life, what does that say of our love for Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, it says we don't love him like we profess. We do not love Jesus like we say we do. I love doctrine. Good, then you love the doctrine of soul winning, the doctrine of evangelizing then, if you love doctrine. Jesus' whole purpose for coming here, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. And if we're not willing to go reach him, do we really love our Savior? It's a question we've got to ask ourselves. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray. Father,